This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is 12.05, coming up to 12.06 on this Friday, the 7th of May, 2021. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
And hanging on the phone line, we have Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. He's going to be joining us a little bit later on to take part in our discussion that we're having today about the right to disconnect, a code of practice giving employees the right to disconnect from work and not engage in electronic communications outside of their normal hours. And it's come into effect in Ireland. And how much longer until this code of practice is adopted elsewhere? Something we're going to be discussing. And of course, which leads us to our question of how often do you respond to work-related messages or emails after working hours? We have a poll running over on Twitter. The poll asks, gives you some options, and the options are?
The options are all the time, only on weekdays, only if it's urgent, or never.
Same question is on Instagram as well. Let's have a look at the polls as we kick off the show. What are the numbers so far of?
52.1% for only if it's urgent, 6.1% for only on weekdays, 30.3% for all the time, and 11.5% for never.
So still quite high on all the time then?
Yeah, quite high on all the time. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the lead story. What else do we have?
So we're also going to be talking a little bit about the new AI system for COVID-19 preemptive measures here in Malaysia. It's called HIDE, which stands for the Hotspot Identification by Dynamic Engagement System.
Okay, that's not a mouthful at all, is it?
No.
Arv, what are you talking about?
We're going to talk about Twitter's tip jar that they've been testing out.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, onto this story then. All employees in Ireland now have the right to disconnect from work under an official code of practice drawn up by the country's Workplace Relations Commission. Under the right to disconnect, employees are now entitled to switch off from work and not engage in digitally enabled communications outside of their normal hours, including not having to respond immediately to work-related emails, telephone calls, or other messages. Specifically, the code enshrines, quote, the right of an employee to not routinely perform work outside normal working hours, the right to not be penalized for refusing to attend to work matters outside of normal working hours, and the duty to respect other person's right to disconnect, for example, by not routinely emailing or calling outside normal working hours. Code of practice for employers and employees on the right to disconnect came into effect on April the 1st, following its signing by the Deputy Prime Minister of Ireland and Employment Minister Leo Varadkar, who requested the code's development back in November of 2020. He said that although much of the pandemic's impact had been negative, particularly for those who have lost jobs or income, it also offers an opportunity to make permanent changes for the better. Here's a quote. The code of practice comes into effect immediately and applies to all types of employment, whether you are working remotely or not. He said it will help employees, no matter what their job is, to strike a better work-life balance and switch off from work outside of their normal working hours. Now, while the purpose of the code is to provide practical guidance and best practice to employers, employees and their representatives about the right to disconnect, and although any codes of practice are admissible as evidence in Irish courts, any failure to follow the code is actually not offence in itself. Mm-hmm. Instead, the code is designed to, quote, complement and support employers and employees' rights and obligations under a range of Irish employment legislation, provide assistance to those employees who feel obligated to routinely work longer hours than those agreed in their terms and conditions of employment, and to provide guidance for the resolution of workplace issues arising from the right to disconnect. So looking at stuff like remote working, he separately announced on the 1st of April that a consultation on these plans to put the right of employees to ask for remote working into law will run until 7th of May, so actually today. Mm-hmm. And while all employees in Ireland can currently ask their employers for the right to work remotely, there's no legal framework around which a request can be made and how it should be dealt with. Also, this kind of thing is coming up in the UK. It's understood that a number of trade unions are also campaigning for a legal right to disconnect in the UK. The TUC, Trade Unions Congress, for example, published a report in March of this year warning that huge gaps in British law over the use of artificial intelligence at work will lead to discrimination and unfair treatment of working people, something that I'm sure Matt has an opinion of a little bit later on. And this has all come up because a lot of people now are obviously working from home, and we are, many of us, getting a lot of emails and messages and all of that kind of stuff. Mm. And it is starting to affect people's mental health, because at first this discussion was, it's nice to be working from home, we're not in an office, but then it became, because I'm not in an office, I can be contactable at any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that has started to become the norm. And, you know, a lot of people say, no, enough of that, we need to be doing something about it. Yeah. Now, if we look at the polls and the questions on the poll, or rather the responses and the options, where, honestly, would you put yourselves in the polls? I mean, I'll tell you now, I answer mine the majority of the time, you know, probably all the time, when I have to. When I'm doing it all the time, you know? And it's, I find myself, part of me is almost feeling guilty if I don't respond, you know? And I think it's because I'm at ease, I'm at home, the emails are on my phone, the laptop is in front of me, or my PC is upstairs, and it's like, well, it's in my hand, I can just probably respond now.
It only takes a minute.
Yeah. But what I'm forgetting about that is that it's not the physical part of it, it's the mental exhaustion of doing it. You know, I shouldn't be responding to emails at 9 p.m. at night, right?
I try really hard to fall into the only if it's urgent category. So for me personally, this is like my first job. So from the get-go, I really wanted to try and set a precedent for myself that I wasn't going to be contactable when I'm not contactable. You know, stuff like emails, I'm relatively decent at not responding all the time to. But the way I've done this now to kind of alleviate that guilt that you mentioned, I use the Google labels, and I've done a label that I call respond in morning. And I've done like, it's like in a nice bright green.
Is that morning with a U or?
No. But basically what that means is just table this for now. You don't need to like get to it now. It's not like super urgent. You know, if let's say it's just someone double checking something or whatever, just I put that label on it and then I just put it aside and then I will check back the next day. But because it's bright green, like, you know, I'll see it immediately when I open my inbox the next day.
Like the first thing.
Yeah, I try very, very hard to do that. And I try to, like, I'll mute WhatsApp groups sometimes when I'm, especially if I'm taking leave, for example. I know I'm not technically going anywhere, but I think it's really important to set that boundary as much as I can at this early stage of my career.
I think I fall mostly never. And maybe sometimes only if it's urgent. I want to say it's because I have like good work-life balance, or I have like, you know, time management and stuff. That's not the truth. I just have very bad phone etiquette. Even at work, like here, right? Sometimes you guys will be talking about a message and I'll be like, where's this coming from? And you guys will be like, it's in the group. You know? Then I'll and it happens a lot. When I'm outside and when I'm at home, the phone's normally never with me. And if I'm headed out for like lunch or food or whatever, hours can go by and I just never take out my phone to check it. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. It's just my personal phone etiquette.
Do you think you would feel less guilty if a code of practice like this was here in Malaysia?
Yes, 100%. I love that idea so much. I cannot begin to describe how much I love this idea. But to me, it's basically, the legislation is one thing, but it's giving, you know, employees the ability to kind of cite that as like, this is something that, you know, is acknowledged by like the government as something that is important for work-life balance, because it will impact productivity and employee motivation in a positive way. Like, this can only be good, in my humble opinion. You know, this is something that benefits both parties.
I want to know about the escalation process. Like, if you feel like you're being contacted too much, let's say there's a law like this in place, there's a rule in place, and then you feel like it's not being followed by the workplace. Where do these people go? Like, let's say in Ireland itself, do they escalate it to their own management? Do they escalate it to someone on the outside? Is there like a third party that's looking after this?
I would imagine it's just similar to any sort of other HR complaint, though, right?
That's how it starts. Your complaint would go to the HR department of the company first. And if it becomes an issue, then it would be raised to management. So the HR would try and resolve it first. And if it becomes an issue that's happened more than once, Then they go to the management to talk about it. The management are then told, you need to behave yourselves and stop doing this. And then if it doesn't, that they're looking at creating things like independent tribunals and that kind of stuff a little bit later on. But we're going to speak to Matt a little bit more about this because he read up on it quite a while ago. And he's the person that at first pointed this out to me anyway. So I'll be talking to him shortly. Of course, he's on the phone right now, sat at home. He had sunglasses on earlier on today. He's taking them off right now. Clearly, it's not as bright in his room as it was earlier. But we'll get to him in a moment. Some music to take us into the break, though. Deep Purple with Woman from Tokyo. Again, the question that we're asking you today is, how often do you check your work-related messages or emails after working hours? Is it all the time? Is it only on weekdays? Only if it's urgent or never? Let us know. Get us on Twitter. It's at BFM Radio. Instagram, of course, also at BFM Radio. And WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And you're back with us here on Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
We're talking about the right to disconnect, a code of practice giving employees the right to disconnect from work and not engage in electronic communications outside of their normal hours, has come into effect in Ireland. How much longer until this code of practice is adopted elsewhere? We're asking you a question over on Twitter. How often do you respond to work-related messages or emails after working hours? These are the numbers that we've got so far.
51.1% for only if it's urgent, 6.3% for only on weekdays, 30.5% for all the time, and 12.1% for never. We have a couple of tweets. So this comes from Casey, who says, used to be almost 24/7 in my younger days. Glad I made great progress to improve. This comes from Edward, who says, I've since stopped having my work email on the phone because of the ever-present temptation to reply ASAP. And Lo Weng Soon says, your multiple choice is missing only if it's important. Everyone wants an urgent response, doesn't mean it's important.
For the purposes of this, I mean, urgent, important can kind of be conflated just for the purposes of this specific
poll. Yeah.
Not anywhere else.
Okay, Chris over on Instagram.
Yes, on Instagram, we've got just an open-ended question, so no poll. So Amrit Kibal says, only if very urgent, otherwise no. PDX3156 says, messages all the time. The expectations comes with the industry, which is construction. Heather3086 says, all the time, though I know it's a bad habit and my boss doesn't really expect it, but clients do. Ayman THMN says, only if it's urgent, but almost all emails seem urgent to me as well.
All right, we have a couple of responses over on WhatsApp just before we get over to Matt. 0021, I said, email? What's that? And then Stephen has said, I usually turn off Do Not Disturb for Outlook and Microsoft Teams after 6 p.m. as well as weekends. And if they need to find me urgently, they'll either call or WhatsApp. But it depends on the day we have to implement some big changes to the system, then I'll still stand by to respond if needed. And he's made it clear to his team. That's how he stands on that. Now, Matt Armitage from Culture Pop, who's been sat waiting patiently on the phone over there. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm very good, thank you. Nice to, I'm actually seeing all of you, so lovely to be here.
Well, you're seeing two-thirds of us.
Two-thirds of us, yes.
Yeah, I am. I didn't know you were there, Chris, until you started speaking. I kind of jumped a little bit.
Sorry. I'm here. Unfortunately, I'm behind the webcam. I'm behind the black, so hello.
We might give you a quick pan in a little while, Matt. Mm. Anyway, Matt, this is something that, you know, I first heard about this code of practice from you recently on a recent Matt Explained. Now that it's come into effect in Ireland, are there any other countries or even companies that have kind of adopted this practice?
Well, certainly in terms of countries, a lot of countries try and deal with this through existing law. So countries like Germany are quite proactive when it comes to protecting employee rights. Similarly, I think Italy and the Philippines have both had versions of this right to disconnect on their statute book since about 2017. Now, I'm not sure how successful those are. France kind of led the way with this. They had a version of this kind of right to disconnect since about 2016. And they have actually gone after companies that require workers to respond 24/7 since about 2008. And I think, again, French companies are kind of leading the way here. Some French companies reportedly disconnect their email services after hours and also will prevent work email from being forwarded to employees during their holiday periods. Now, as you mentioned, the UK is under a lot of pressure to look into to this. Canada as well has been looking into this this area since about 2017. I think they've set up various working groups to look into the right to disconnect, but there's been no concrete legislation as a result of it so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Matt, so do you think this would have even been a consideration if the pandemic never happened?
Definitely. I mean, we're seeing countries going back to, with the case of France, back to about 2008. And this all came from an EU directive back in 2003, I think, that required companies and member states to have a minimum daily rest period that's 11 consecutive hours in every 24-hour period. And they also have at least a day free of work within a 7-day period. So this is something that certainly the EU's been looking at for close to 2 decades. In terms of the remote working, Ireland is directly addressing remote working, as is Slovakia, which enacted a law this year that is kind of similar to Ireland's and covers the experiences that we've had over the last 12 months. And just to add to what Richard was saying about Ireland, the Irish Prime Minister has also asked the Irish Parliament to look into legislation that will protect the rights of Irish workers, remote workers. And they've been asked to, I think, act on that within the timeframe of this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Matt, you've spent a lot of your working life working remotely. So have you, like many of us, experienced that like 3 a.m. WhatsApp message about work? And also, I think more importantly, has that gotten worse during the pandemic?
Certainly for me, it hasn't gotten worse, but I've become very good at kind of managing those relationships with my clients. So I don't have employees or colleagues. I just have clients, you mm-hmm. know, being a consultant on my own. So I've kind of made clear what the terms of those things are. We have parameters for what are urgent. I mean, I was in I was doing crisis management for a client a few years ago, and that required me to respond to emails or more likely text messages and WhatsApps at sort of 3 and 4 in the morning. But that's because it was a very fluid situation. Normally, with my clients, it's very much a kind of 10 to 6 relationship, and anything that floats outside of those hours is, you know, depending on the criteria. Mm.
So this seems to be like a set of guidelines that would be relatively easy to implement in more developed countries. How difficult do you think it would be to implement, and more importantly, enforce something like this here in Malaysia?
I think it would be quite difficult because we still have that mentality that, you know, work comes first, work comes before your family life, work comes before your personal life. So it was nice to hear that Arvind has a nice work-life balance, even at the cost of his telephone etiquette. And I have to say, you know, when I kind of communicate with Arvind, Christine, I get pretty much instant responses. And Richard, the one person who claims to be online 24/7, he's the one who doesn't get back to me as quickly.
Which being called out
leads me to believe what I've. Yeah, I've always suspected that he just hates me. So, I think it would be very difficult to do here. But I think one of the key points, if we go back to that code that Ireland enacted, there were 3 points to that. And the third point is particularly important, the duty to respect someone else's right to connect, whether that be in terms of delivering work or responding to email and messages, because that doesn't just cover pressure from your employer, pressure from your bosses. That also covers that pressure that you get from your colleagues. Mm. And often that's what we feel as well. It's not always that top-down pressure, but it's also a colleague coming on in a kind of a panic and saying, oh no, I need da-da-da-da-da because I've got to do a report and get it out. So, you know, they're putting their time management failures, for example, onto you to pressure you to deliver work out of hours as well. So these kind of codes also protect you from that pressure or from bullying as well that you might experience from colleagues, not just from people in the hierarchy above you.
I don't hate you, Matt, just to be clear.
You know. You can say that, but I can see it.
Is that what
eyes.
You mean? So has there been any pushback from industries in the countries that have started to implement these kinds of guidelines?
By and large, there hasn't seemed to be. I mean, we've seen, for example, companies, I think it was one of the big insurance companies in New Zealand, sorry, I've forgotten the name of the company, that was one of the first to embrace the four-day working week. So we are seeing companies embrace these more progressive policies. And once you start to be forced to do it in one country, particularly for multinational corporations, you tend to see this domino effect. Because it's a bit like the GDPR, the data regulations that the EU has set. That's become a kind of de facto worldwide standard because companies don't want to have different practices in different markets. So it's the same with these employment regulations as well. We're likely to see these becoming global practices, best practices, because it's simply easier for companies to adopt them on that international scale than to have different working codes in different countries.
Mm-hmm. All right, final question for you, Matt. Do you think that this is the beginning of a small shift of power from the employer to the employee? Other than the pandemic, what might be the driving force behind this move? Could it possibly be like a generational thing?
Gosh, I mean, that's actually a really huge question. And a lot of it comes back to legislation. So what we're seeing with the code of conduct in Ireland is the government saying, hey, we've got the pandemic, we've got all of these other issues going on, but we're going to take some time out to protect workers. What we're seeing in other countries, like, for example, the United Kingdom, is there's a whole host of scandals and firestorms that they have to manage. And it's not such a priority. So it's difficult to say whether this is going to tip the balance, because certainly we are going to see this practice of remote working, the work from anywhere movement. We're going to see that becoming the norm. How long it's going to take for governments to react to that and to start changing industrial and working codes of practices to protect these new business models, that remains to be seen. It's not something that I think there's an easy answer to.
Mm. Okay, Matt, thanks very much for your time today. Have yourself.
Thank you very much.
Look
Have a
yourself.
Good weekend, everybody.
Yes, you too. Have a good weekend. Now, we're going to wrap up this segment, of course, for now, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes. The question that we're asking you is, how often do you check your email communications or your WhatsApp or whatever, your work-related stuff after hours? Is it all the time? Is it only on weekends? Is it only if it's urgent? Or never. Let us know. We have a poll running over on Twitter. You can get us at BFM Radio. Same question over on Instagram. And of course, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp if you want to take part in the discussion. Music to take us into the break. It's U2 with Everlasting Love here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.